Good morning. I'm going to start by dismissing all the little kids to go with Miss Clara over here to go have some fun. Bet they get to do more activities than us. Before we get into today's message, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for each individual here today. Father, I just want to ask that you give me your words today and speak what you want me to speak. Set my tongue on fire, Father. Father, open the hearts and the minds of each one here. And if I say anything that is not of you, Father, let it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. If you may have looked in the bulletin this morning, I titled the message, What in the World is Going On? Because what in the world is going on? It seems everything has gone crazy. The whole world has gone into turmoil. You've got people fighting. We've got buildings on fires in cities, people looting streets. Literally, there's like a war zone out there. Businesses are being closed. The poor and the homeless are being ignored. The elderly, the widows, and the orphans are being forgotten. We have a pandemic going on, and people are losing their minds. Literally, losing their minds. Watch some YouTube. You'll see it all over the place. There's fighting among family and friends. And every time we turn around, there seems to be a new expert on how to fix every single one of those issues. And as soon as you think you've got that one figured out, they're like, nope, there's a new expert, and he's got a different way, and that's the way we need to do it. It's a never-ending battle. And if many of you guys are like me, it really just doesn't seem to matter anymore. Because no matter which way we go, you're going to make somebody upset. And realistically, do we know what the right way is? But maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is that we keep looking to this world to come up with fixes to these solutions. We keep looking to the world for how we should handle this situation. But in Proverbs 14:12, it tells us, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is a way to death. See, when we start relying on our own understandings and our own thought process, when we start relying on the government, when we start relying on the world, it ultimately leads to death. So in a time like this, like never before, the world needs Jesus. And we have to be willing to reach out and to show Jesus. We have to be willing to ask him to guide us through these troubling times. We don't need the government or other leaders to come in and fix things. They've got a habit of screwing things up, not fixing them. We don't just need to trust the doctors, but we need to trust that Jesus will walk with them through this process as well. But you know, these kind of things that we've been experiencing in our world should be nothing new. It shouldn't honestly be a shocker to any of us. We get into this habit of everything is going really nice and easy for a while, and we seem to forget the past. Billy Graham wrote in 1992 in an article entitled Storm Warning, "The entire world is in turmoil. While the population of the planet continues to explode at a rate of nearly 100 million births per year, millions were dying from epidemics, wars, famines, starvation, drugs, crime, and violence. We're living in a time of enormous conflict and cultural transformation. The political and social revolutions of our time are staggering the imagination. We've seen the results of unrestrained greed, corruption, manipulation on Wall Street, financial mismanagements in the halls of government, fraud and perversion at the highest levels of both church and state. We are constantly confronted by the realities of the new problems of an age in crisis." Now, I don't know about you guys, but that was 20 years ago almost, and that still sounds like today. But how many of us even remembered half of that stuff just as we look back on it? But you see, the Bible warns us these types of things are going to happen. The world in turmoil and things being turned upside down. For those who want to follow along, we're going to be in Matthew 24 today. And that's where we're going to get started. Matthew 24, verse 1 is where I'm going to start. As Jesus left, he was going out of the temple. His disciples came up and calling his attention to the building. They replied, "Do you see all these things?" Drawing his attention to anything. Give me one second. As Jesus left and he was going out of the temple, his disciples came up calling his attention to its building. He replied to them, "Do you see these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another that will not be thrown down." While he was sitting at the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what is the time of your coming and the end of age?" How many of us want to know when Jesus is coming back? We would really like to have the exact roadmap, a time frame, all of that. I'm here to tell you today, none of us know. Somebody claims to know, they're lying. They don't know. Okay? But we understand where the disciples are coming from on why they would ask a question like this. As things get crazier, you know, they just walked out of the temple, this beautiful building, and Jesus told them it's all going to be destroyed. And if we look back on Matthew chapter 16, is another time Jesus talked a little bit about the end times and all that stuff. So you don't think their curiosity was raging at that moment? Like, okay, hold on. Explain. I want to hear more. And then, of course, we have Daniel, which they would have known from the Old Testament already about the end times. So these questions, they have God in front of them, and they want to know these answers. And I can't blame them. But you know how Jesus responded in verse 4? Was he didn't rebuke them. He didn't tell them, no, you know, don't worry about that kind of stuff. Instead, he starts off with, "Watch out that no one deceives you." And the word deceive in the Greek language there that's used there is cause to stray. Jesus is warning them to not let anybody come in and cause them to stray from the truth. Causing them to go from what they know Christ is telling them. And it continues, "For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many." That's so true. We have seen many, many people. There are people who have came and claimed to be the Messiah. There are tons of false teachers. There is a whole bunch of people. We got a new gospel or a new understanding that has been taught. And all of those ways lead to death. It continues, "You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars." Okay, when's the last time we turned on the TV and we didn't hear that? That such and such country is going to attack. Such and such country is going to do this. But he says, "Do not be alarmed, because these things must take place. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these events are just the beginning of the labor pains." I looked it up. Earthquakes in the last 5 days, there was 11 of them. You don't really hear about it on the news, but you can just do a quick Google. And there was 11 of them in the last 5 days. But again, he states these are just the beginning of the labor pains. It continues in verse 9. "Then they will hand you over to be persecuted and they will kill you. You will be hated by nations because of my name. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will multiply. The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is good news of the kingdom that will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all the nations, and the end will come." As we speak today, many of us are aware persecution is picking up around the world. In China, for an example, right now, this just happened within the last week, the government is going after Christian parents who have adopted children and are telling them their adoptions are no longer valid and are taking the kids away. How many of you as parents could even imagine at that moment in time? They're also being threatened to have their own biological children taken as well and thrown into re-education camps. And they're telling them they're doing this because they went against their agreement on the adoption and are teaching them about Jesus. Now, parents, it is part of your responsibility to teach your children about Jesus. In different parts of Africa, we see people being killed for Christ all the time. If they convert over to Christianity and they leave their religion or whatever they had beforehand, if they accept Christ, it's almost certain death. In India right now, there's a huge radical Hindu nationalist movement going on, and they've been killing and harming Christians for their faith as well. As we know, in the Muslim countries and so forth like that, if you leave the Muslim faith, if you leave Islam, your family can have you killed, and it's called an honor killing. And this is happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a group of children laughing and talking as they came down to their church sanctuary after eating together, and boom, instantly, many of them were killed in a bomb on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka. And even here in America, I know we look at that a lot of times and we're like, this is another country. This doesn't happen to us. We get into this bubble zone and we don't worry about it. And a lot of times when we read the Bible and we think about the different prophecies and we think about all that, we look at it through just the American lens and what's going on here in America when we need to look at it through the world. But just here in America as well, persecution is picking up. Just last Sunday, there was a bunch of people outside of a church in New York, and they were harassing everybody that was going in, threatening to call child services on the parents who had brought in children. They were calling them all types of names and going through like that. It's happening here. The governor of California has banned indoor worship. And Pastor John MacArthur from the Elder and the Elders of Grace Community Church in California have stated they plan on defying those orders. And because of their statement, the government is threatening to pull the power on the church. Are you ready? Are you ready for if this comes our way? If we remember the initial lockdown and so forth, if anybody met together, there was threats of people being arrested, there was threats of people getting tickets and fines and so forth. Are you ready to pay that fine? Are you ready to go to jail if you need to? Are you ready to stand up for what and do what is right, even if we're told not to? Are you ready to count the cost? Now, in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 3, it says, for all of them, I urge that petitions, prayer, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all the godlessness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior. What he's saying here in that particular passage is we are to pray for our government. In fact, we're told in Romans 13, then, let everyone submit to the government's authority, since there's no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are instituted by God. So we are called to listen to the government as well. And you might be like, well, Tim, they told them to shut down. Right, but it also tells us in Acts 5:29 that we must obey God rather than people. See, we are to obey and listen at those moments to the government up until the moment in time they tell us to do something that's against God's word. And God tells us that we are called to join together. God tells us that we are to unite together, that we are to do these things. We're supposed to have this fellowship. By the moment they ask us to go against God's word, we're supposed to respectfully refuse. Doesn't matter what nation, Doesn't matter where you're at. And I tell you what, our brothers and sisters across the way definitely understand that more than what we do. But see, there's going to be a moment when we have to make a choice. Do we follow Jesus or do we follow man? Are we ready to pick up that cross? Are you ready to be hated because of Christ? Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:9 that they will hand you over to be persecuted, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. There will be a day, even in America, where we will be thrown in jail for following God's orders. It happened just up in Canada. A pastor was thrown in jail for preaching against homosexuality. For preaching against what the government said he could not preach against. And for teaching. And unfortunately, we know that many will fall away during this time. They will start to believe false gospels or deny Christ and fully because they don't want to count the cost. You know, in Matthew 24:11, what we just read, it states in there that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. There's going to be a lot of people who end up walking away from Christ. But if we look back on Matthew 24:8, I think Jesus explains something absolutely beautiful in this picture, and it states that all these events are just the beginning of the labor pains. I'm not saying these things in itself are what's going to start, and that, oh, we better be ready because Jesus is going to be here tomorrow. I will never claim to know when he's going to come back. But these are the beginning things. And as these things progress and continue on, how much of this book do you have memorized? How much of this book do you spend time in on a daily basis? Because he's given us warnings that these are the labor pains. And any woman who's given birth, from my understanding, I don't have the experience, so I can't say. But I have understanding that that's a quite painful time frame. And that it isn't always the shortest time frame either. It's not 5-10 minutes. Sometimes it can be dragged out. But we have to remember one thing. At the end of the labor pains, there's something beautiful that comes at the end. And that's the new life. That's the child. And it makes you forget all those things. Even in the moments like this, even in moments when these things are going on and we have this sorrow and stuff, we need to remember our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not found in walking out and having a comfortable life on this earth. And Jesus tells us that we need to pick up the cross daily. Our hope is not found in just walking out and just going about our normal day. Our hope is found in Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that God has not left the throne up in heaven. He is still there. He is still the ruler of everything. And it is our job to submit to Him. Because our reward is heaven. Our reward isn't found here on earth. And even though these times are painful, even though these times are uncomfortable, and they may not go the way you want, our goal is to get into heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be able to be there with each one of you at the end. God has had this plan in motion from the beginning, since the moment in time Adam and Eve took the bite of the apple, or whatever fruit it was. They took that bite. And sin entered into this world. Cain and Abel. Cain killing Abel. Murder and blood was spilled. These things are nothing new. Just as today, there is turmoil going on. This has been going on since the beginning. But that's why Christ came to this earth. That's why he came down to this earth and lived a man and was perfect. And he died on that cross for each one of us. so that at the end we can have fellowship with God and we can spend eternity in heaven. We may think 70, 80, 90 years is a long life here on earth, but can you imagine eternity? And I just want to know, where are you going? Are you willing to give up a comfortable life on earth so that you can have an everlasting life in heaven? Are you willing to stand for God's word no matter what they throw at you? If it gets to the point, are you willing to sit in a jail cell? Are you willing to die if that's what it means? Or are you going to just bow down to the earth? Because I don't fear no earthly leader. I don't fear no man. There's a particular verse I want to share with you all as my last thought. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Father, I just ask that we all take a moment to examine our hearts. And are we willing to take those steps? Are we willing to be bold for you? Father, just as we go out this week, just watch over each one of us. Help us to seek you. And help us to understand your word in a greater way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.